Our first scripture comes to us from John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Acts 2, 1-13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout man from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak into his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they were filled with new wine. This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dwell. Holy Spirit, show us your peace. Holy Spirit, guide us to all truth. Holy Spirit, convict us of sin. Holy Spirit, give us new perspective as we study your word so that we might know Jesus Christ, God's only Son. We might know the new life that is for us through God's grace. Thank you, Lord God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, as most of you know, today is Pentecost, where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and some of you inadvertently or intentionally wore red. That's good. That's the color. I know some of you are like, what? All right. You did it. So good job. You are wearing the liturgical color this morning. So red is the color of fire, so tongues of flame and the wind that came that first day. So this morning is actually also the end of Eastertide. So we've been doing this Eastertide series, basically an extended Easter celebration. And so now that is officially over because this marks the end of the Easter season. The Holy Spirit has come. So if you kept that Easter bunny out because you were still celebrating Easter, you can put that away till next year and have 50 days after that to keep it up as well. So, but now this is the day that is extremely crucial to the Christian church. This is the day that really marks the birthday of the Christian church. Different writers have said that without the Holy Spirit, the Christian life is dead. There is no mission, there is no discipleship, there is no worship without the Holy Spirit. So as we come, it's good to ponder these two questions. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled? Do you trust that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? And secondly, are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Is the power that raised Christ from the dead living in you, animating you in new ways, raising your dry bones and making them dance? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, if you've spent any time in Christian churches, you know that there's a huge diversity of how people answer those two questions. And especially even maybe in our church, there's a diversity about that. You know, for some of you in this church, or people you know in other churches, they or you have had an experience of Pentecost. You know, you may know people or you may have experienced it yourself. You've experienced a Pentecost experience. You've experienced tongues of flame and wind and miracles and signs and wonders. You've had emotional certainty and depth that you could not deny. And you've seen things that you can only know is God and the Holy Spirit. So for some of you, that might be the case, or you may know others that with whom that is the case. And I'm sure for some of us in the room, the Holy Spirit is just one of those things we don't talk about a lot. You know, it's kind of one of those, you know, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but we just don't talk about it because, you know, so often it gets misconstrued or it gets confused, and so we just try to keep away from it. And I'm sure there's some of you here going, what is Pastor Chris talking about? You know, what? The Holy Spirit? You know, you might have heard the Holy Spirit talked about in church, but it's confusing. You know, it's sometimes weird. What is this Holy Spirit thing that people talk about in church? And why do some people hold on to it so tightly and others don't hold on to it at all? So we've all had these different experiences of the Holy Spirit, and there's this diversity of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives and in the church right now. But we see in the scriptures that one thing ties it all together, that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. We see this in the words of Jesus. We see this in the experience that the first disciples had in Acts. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It's a promise fulfilled so that we may know Christ, that we may be convicted of sin, that we may live an abundant life, that we may have power beyond our power and strength beyond our strength and hope beyond our hope and love beyond our love so that we could bless those in the world around us. So we see that the Holy Spirit is a gift given to all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. And so over the next moments, we're going to look at what that means to us. We're going to look especially at what being filled in the Holy Spirit means. We're going to look also at what being redeemed, what being empowered by the Holy Spirit means. And we're also going to look at how we are called to respond. So before we actually do that, we need to actually talk about who the Holy Spirit is, because that can be as confusing as well. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, often we can emphasize the Spirit too much, or we can emphasize the Spirit too little. For some of us, the Holy Spirit is not something we talk about in worship. It's not something we ever think about. It's something we try to avoid. But for others, the Holy Spirit is kind of like a heavenly power outlet. You know, you plug it in to get that Holy Spirit power in your life. So either sometimes it's emphasized too much and talked about too much, sometimes the Holy Spirit is talked about too little. But we see in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is actually talked about in a different way entirely. Throughout the scriptures and throughout Christian history and theology, the Holy Spirit is nothing more or nothing less than God. The Holy Spirit is God. We believe that we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit exists together with God the Father and God the Son, not less than God the Father and God the Son, but right together with God the Father and the Son. You can see this kind of imagery in a lot of different ways, but one way that helps me is to see it relationally. To see that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are actually in this relationship with one another. We see that just like God the Father, the Holy Spirit existed in the beginning, existed in Genesis, just with God the Son as well. Elohim always talks about, is this plural noun for God. It always says, we created the earth and the heavens. So we see in the beginning, there's this we to God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist in this perfect, amazing, self-sacrificial, loving, hopeful, caring relationship. One that we can't even understand in our world today. I mean, think for a second about the most beautiful time you ever had in relationship with other people. You know, a time where you felt totally loved and you were just 100% loving other people. You felt fully known, fully safe, fully welcomed, fully cared for. Like, think about those times. Because we've all had them for like a moment or a day or maybe a camp experience or something like that. But we know they don't last for very long. But in the Trinity, between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the reality. When we experience those moments, we are experiencing actually a shadow of a much larger reality of who God is. God is together in relationship in this ultimate community that is perfectly loving and perfectly hopeful and beautiful and kind and self-sacrificial and caring. So that's why we always see in the scriptures that always the three people of the Trinity always talk about each other. They never talk about themselves. So the Father, for example, when Jesus is baptized, the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." When Jesus talks in his ministry, he says, "I and the Father are one. I don't do anything by myself, but only what the Father wills." And we see that Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. He says that the Holy Spirit will only speak of me. He doesn't speak a word of himself. He only speaks of me. So we see this beautiful, caring, self-sacrificial, loving, perfectly loving relationship that one day we will be a part of as those who are faithful. That's what heaven is, being in this relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this perfect communion. So we see the Spirit is much more sometimes than we give him credit for. And he's also not just this power outlet that we plug into, but the Holy Spirit is a person. A person that is connected with God, the Father, and Son, that is fully glorifying each other and also caring and loving us. So we see always the Holy Spirit does nothing for himself, but only does what God wills. And God wills that we know Jesus Christ. That's God's hope and God's will for us, is that we would know Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin so we know Jesus Christ. Comes to guide us to all truth so we know Jesus Christ. All of these things are in the book of John that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. So before we can know what the Holy Spirit does, we need to know who the Holy Spirit is. And so now we can kind of go to see some different aspects of how the Holy Spirit reveals himself. We see primarily in this passage that what the Holy Spirit does for the church is that he fills the church. We see it in verse 4 of Acts. Luke writes, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now, some of us here have grown up in church, and some of us have been here for a couple years. Some of us have been here for a couple weeks. And so for those of us who have been in church for many years, we've read the story over and over again. You know, and when we read the story over and over again on Pentecost especially, you can kind of lose the wonder of the story. Because just imagine if you were there that day. I mean, you don't know this is happening. You know, this is not something you were going to Jerusalem to happen. It wasn't something that was expected. This was totally a surprise. It caught them off guard, and it was one of the most amazing moments of their life. They had this experience of seeing this mighty wind and these tongues of fire, and then they started speaking these languages from all over the world. I imagine none of you have kind of woken up speaking Farsi or some random language from the Amazon basin that only, you know, a handful of people speak. No, but that's the experience they had. The Holy Spirit coming on them, and they started speaking all these languages, but all the languages that other people in the room knew. So suddenly they're speaking to each other, and they couldn't speak to each other before. It was this amazing, amazing thing. But we know that the disciples had no idea that was going to happen that day. We know because of historical record that the Feast of Pentecost is not just a Christian festival. Sometimes we think, because it's been used in Christian ceremony for 2,000 years, that the word Pentecost is only Christian. But it's actually a Hebrew festival. It happens 50 days after the Passover. And it's also called the Festival of the Harvest or the Festival of the Weeks. And what would happen is that farmers would come into Jerusalem and they would bring the first fruits of their harvest. So they would bring the first sheaves of grain, the first lamb that was born, whatever they had, the first fruits, they would bring it, and they would sacrifice it as a thank you for God for giving them what they needed to survive. And so all the people around the world that could make it to Jerusalem were coming there on this festival of the Pentecost, or festival of weeks, or the harvest, to give their first fruits of their labor to God. And so this would have been a sign to the disciples, because as they are coming to give their first fruits of their labor to God, God does something different. Instead of just accepting their first fruits, God gives them his first fruits of his labor in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's very best. It is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the best of everything God has for the world is the Holy Spirit. The best salvation, the power to change the world, the power to change our lives is all in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then is given to the church. So it was this experience that changed their lives. It gave them this new perspective and this new hope. And it's easy for us to think that that hope that they were given and that experience that were given only happened on Pentecost, that it doesn't happen today. But I want to assure you that if you believe in Jesus Christ in this room today, if you have been saved by grace through faith, you've experienced the Pentecost too. Now, I know most of you are not speaking Farsi and weird languages from, you know, far reaches of the earth. I know most of you have never felt that wind and the fire, or, you know, you've never spoken in tongues or done any of these things that are attributed to the Holy Spirit. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, we trust through the Holy Scriptures that you have received a Pentecost and the Holy Spirit fills you as well. Now, sometimes people will say to you, you know, you need another baptism, or you need another experience, that if you're a Christian, that's not good enough. You need something else. But we see in the Holy Scripture, and especially we see in what Jesus says, that they are wrong. And if they say that to you, you will know that they are not correct, because the Holy Spirit is a gift given to you. Not by your own work, not by anything you do, but only by God's choice and by God's love and by God's instigation. That's all it is. We see Jesus say this very clearly. He says, "The Father will send the Advocate in my name, and he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, peace I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." So we see where the Holy Spirit comes from. Jesus asks the Father so that the disciples and all the believers, we in the church, would not be afraid, so that our hearts would not be troubled. So Jesus asks the Father, and the Father gives us the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not something you have to earn. It's not something you do or something that you can turn on. It's not a power plug that you can plug into. It's something you have. You have the Holy Spirit. It is yours. Or more succinctly, you are his. When we become to know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit fills us. It's confirmed in our baptism. We believe that when we're baptized, we are raised up and the Holy Spirit is in us. When you believe you have the Spirit, when you're baptized, that Spirit is confirmed to be in you. So never doubt you have the Spirit in your life. Never doubt that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And never listen when someone tells you that you're not. Because though you may not feel it, though you may not have experienced it, though you may not have any kind of emotional response or seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit played out that are, you know, the visible signs and wonders, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit has been given to you so that you might be a blessing to others, that you might be faithful, that you might be true. That's why I prayed for all you graduates that you would be covered with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is in you and the Spirit is protecting you. So when you go off to dangerous places, when you go off to unknowns and unknown friends and unknown experiences, you can draw on the Holy Spirit because you know you have a strength beyond your strength. You have a power beyond your power. You have hope beyond your hope, and we can draw upon that when we're in times of need and trouble. So we see that in the Christian life, we're called simply to respond to this gift. That's how we live empowered by the Holy Spirit, is we are called to simply respond. And I want to go through three or four ways that we're called to respond. The first way that we're called to respond is simply to acknowledge the Holy Spirit around us. You know, when we begin to realize that the Holy Spirit is in us, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, life begins to take on a whole new perspective because we realize that everything around us is literally drenched in the Holy Spirit. Your life is soaked in the Holy Spirit. And all the world around you, though it might seem to the contrary, is drenched in the Holy Spirit. When we begin to realize this, when we begin to have the eyes of faith, we begin to realize that the Holy Spirit is all around us, doing the work of God's kingdom and drawing us to do the work of God's kingdom. That the Holy Spirit is working in the world to bring reconciliation and hope. The Holy Spirit is working to bring God's plans to fruition. And the Holy Spirit is working in us. So every time you're drawn to pray, it's the Holy Spirit. Every time you're called to worship and we come here, it's the Holy Spirit. Every time you're drawn out of yourself to love someone or care for someone or share the gospel with someone, it's the Holy Spirit. That in about 1,000 other ways, that's the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we're just simply called to acknowledge that. To acknowledge in those moments when I'm convicted of sin to go, thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you brought that out of my life. You know, when I'm convicted about someone and I just don't want to talk to them and I don't want to deal with them, but God keeps putting them on my heart, I say, thanks, Holy Spirit. When I'm called to forgive someone who I don't want to forgive, they don't deserve to be forgiven, I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is drawing us to be more than just ourselves. We can't do these things on our own. You know, we can't live the holy Christian life on our own. So that God gives us the Holy Spirit as the helper, as the advocate, and we're just simply called to acknowledge that. And connected with this is we're secondly called to appreciate it. A while back, I was teaching a women's Bible study, older women's Bible study in the church I used to serve. And these are kind of ornery ladies, you know, they're all very elderly and they all have great comments. Like, I love leading this Bible study because, you know, there are just a few spicy ladies in there that always kind of give you these really kind of interesting comments. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit and one of the questions was, well, why don't people trust the Holy Spirit more? You know, why aren't people really living in the Holy Spirit? And so one of the ladies says, well, you know, maybe we don't have it. Maybe you got to ask for it. And then everybody else kind of shot her down. Was like, oh, no. Remember what Pastor Chris said, da, da, da. And then another said, well, maybe we have the gift, but we haven't opened it yet. And that, you know, we talked about that for a little while, but we realized, well, you know, we have the gift and it's right there for us. But then another lady actually, and she always is the one I count on for the spicy comments. She said, well, you know, we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we've opened the gift. We just don't appreciate it. We just don't appreciate it. And she went on. She said, you know, it's like getting socks for your birthday. You know, no one likes getting socks for your birthday. You know, you need them. You're going to benefit by having them, but they are not good news to you. You know, you'd rather have a Ferrari for your birthday. You don't want socks. And that's how she kind of described sometimes our experience with the Holy Spirit. And I thought she was just so spot on. Because the Holy Spirit is working always in the background of our lives. We don't realize one tenth of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Not even the 90th percent of what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is protecting us and guiding us and showing us the way so much more than we even understand that we can take the Holy Spirit for granted. So we're just simply called to appreciate the Holy Spirit. Paul describes the Holy Spirit as actually, you got $1 million with the Holy Spirit. You didn't get socks with the Holy Spirit. You got $1 million with the Holy Spirit. That's what you got. You got the ultimate source of life. You got the best thing going in this world, and it's yours. You have it. It was given to you. It's yours. So appreciate it. Appreciate it. And so thirdly, We're called to respond to the Spirit by understanding that we're bound by the Spirit. We're called to acknowledge the Spirit, to appreciate the Spirit, and to acknowledge that we're bound by the Spirit. Let me explain that. On Pentecost, you notice that none of the disciples were given the gift of the Holy Spirit alone. You know, they weren't given the Holy Spirit at home by themselves when they were praying and suddenly the gift came on them and tongues of fire and wind and boom and, you know, fireworks. No, only they were given it together. That was why they were given it, because the Holy Spirit is given to unite us as the church. The Holy Spirit is the binding agent that unites the church. Now, we all know what binding agents are. You know, if I put super glue on my hand and I put my hand on the wood of the pulpit, I'm bound to the pulpit, you know? And if you don't somehow cut my hand away from the pulpit or, you know, really do something terribly painful to my hand, I'm going to be bound to the pulpit for quite a long time. And that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body of Christ, as we talked about last week. But the Holy Spirit is the glue that holds the body together. So what this means is that we are unified in Christ right now. You know, we talk about unity at this church quite a bit. We want to be unified. We want to do things to bring unity. But actually, we are unified right now. You're unified with the people you don't like in this room. You're unified with the people that you don't agree with, that you're frustrated with, that you don't want to spend any time with. You're unified with them because the Spirit has unified you. The Spirit is the binding agent in our lives. It's a binding agent of this church. And so we are unified together in Christ. That's why we're called, actually, to be gentle with one another. That's why the scriptures always say be long-suffering and be patient and kind and compassionate, because those are attitudes and actions that bring unity and peace. And Paul writes in Ephesians 4:4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What he's saying is, you are in unity, act like it. God has put us all together. Now we're called to act like it. So if you don't have anything in common with the people around you, if you don't feel any reason to care or give compassion to another person, you know you should, and you know God wants you to, because you're in unity with them. God has bound you to them. We're bound to each other. We can't escape it. We can't avoid it. It's just the reality of life together in the Holy Spirit. And so lastly, we're called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, we see through the Holy, through the book of Acts especially, which is the story of the disciples' missionary journeys, that they did not do any great thing unless they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. They didn't go out until the Holy Spirit gave them. They stayed right where they were, and they waited, and they waited. And only after the Holy Spirit came did they go. And it's the same with us. You know, we know that in our own life, we don't have the strength and the power to help people see the wonder and beauty of the gospel. You know, you may have tried to evangelize your friends, and you know how frustrating that is. You know, you talk to 10 friends, and 10 of your friends are like, that's nice, thank you, awkward moments, and then, you know, kind of like, I'm not going to do that again. And we know, because we don't have the power to do it. If you go in thinking, well, I have to convert this person, you're going to be disappointed all the time. But if you go into something going, I want to live in the Spirit, then you're going to see God surprise you all the time. We cannot convert anyone. We can't bring about an alleviation of poverty or suffering in the world. We can't help people in the city who are hurting. You can't do that on your own. But through the Spirit's power, we can go out and serve. So it's a whole new thing for us to go out and say, you know, I can't convert you. As your pastor and preacher, I can't make you know Jesus. I can't make you fall in love with him. I can't make you understand how you're filled with the Spirit. I can't do that. So every morning before I come up here and preach, I preach that God's Spirit would show you. And I want to trust that God's Spirit is showing you. And so when I talk to you, and when I hope you talk to each other, I hope you see that. That when we look at each other, we go, you know what? God's Spirit is working in their life. God's Spirit is doing something in each of you. And we just need to kind of find that and see that. You know, like we talked about when godly attitudes, when Paul says, you know, if anything is good and beautiful and praiseworthy, think about those things. It's the same thing. The Spirit's working in all of us who know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus in this room, the Spirit is working in your life, pushing you to know Jesus. That's the conviction you sometimes feel, or the questions or the doubts or those things that arise. It's the Holy Spirit. So when we begin to trust that, we can be empowered by what the Spirit is doing in our life. We can be empowered in every area. We come to worship and our worship is, you know, not as exciting as you wish it would be, or it's not as exciting as Hillsong in the city would be, or Redeemer or whatever. You know, or the preaching is not as, you know, exciting or bland, or I had a bad sermon that day or whatever. You know, we never assume that the Holy Spirit has left the building. We never assume that, because the Spirit is in us. The Spirit is soaking this place in Him. So when we come to this place, when we come anywhere the triune God is worshiped, we can come in expectation, knowing God is working. So we pray differently. We study differently. We are attentive in a different way because we know the Holy Spirit is here, and we know the Holy Spirit wants to say something to us. And it's the same way when we go out there. God wants to use us to build His kingdom. God wants to use us to share His word. God wants to use us to bring hope and light to the earth. He wants us to go as His people, and He will empower us. All we have to do is take a step and then take another and let God do the rest. You know, remember during Hurricane Sandy, I wasn't living here at the time, but most of you were. I had a few friends who lived in Manhattan, and they were in the part of the city that still had power, but they were just hoping and, you know, praying for like 2 hours so that they could get out of their area, because the hurricane was raging so much in their area, Manhattan, that the news just said, stay where you are, don't move, stay where you are until the storm lessens, and then get out of there. So they, like 2 days, they were just watching the news, you know, when is the storm going to kind of lessen enough for me to get out of there? And I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this sermon, because with the Holy Spirit, it's just the opposite. You know, with a hurricane, yeah, you want to stay safe until you can get out. With the Holy Spirit, God wants you to go out in the hurricane. God wants you to go out into the wind and the rain. God wants you to step out in dangerous places. God wants you to have faith that He's working. God wants you, in relationships you have, to have boldness and courage, because it's not your boldness and courage, it's God's through the Holy Spirit. And so step out in the hurricane, friends. Go out. Let's go out together into the hurricane and experience the wind of God's Holy Spirit. Experience the wonder that we have this Spirit inside of us who's guiding us to all truth and guiding us to Jesus Christ. Let's go out together and experience the hurricane of God's love. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, dear Holy Father, dear Holy Spirit, we are grateful for You. We're grateful for creating us, Holy Father. We're thankful, Son, for redeeming us. And we're thankful, Holy Spirit, for filling us. Lord God, would You give us assurance in Your Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, Lord, would You give us calm and rest and peace because You're filling us? Would You give us new hope and peace because You're in us, so that the storms of our life, the uncertainties, the worries, we know that we're not alone. You're with us. Lord God, even in this place, as we sing a couple songs, may we see this time as a time to connect with Your Holy Spirit, a time to just receive again Your Spirit that has filled us. Holy Spirit, would You come upon us now? As we sing these songs, as we appreciate You, would You come upon us so that we could be assured in You again and empowered to go from this place and serve You? Thank You, God. Thank You, Son. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Amen.